If you brought your Bibles, hope you did, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. We're in the series called Reminders. We're looking at different reminders throughout the Scriptures, looking at different passages and reminders as we begin this brand new year. Today is restoring margin to an overloaded lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like I'm just weighted down with so many different things, so many different pulls and so many different weights come upon me. And so today I want to talk to you about that. I want to give you three principles, but I want us to unpack these three verses of Scripture before we do that and kind of give you some breakouts of what this passage is all about. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning with the 28th verse through the 30th verse, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My burden is light. In this sentence, in this statement, this one three-verse statement, Jesus summarizes the secret to stress management. We don't ever have to go to another stress management class. We don't ever have to go and sit under a seminar on stress management if we take to heart this passage of Scripture. If we follow the guidelines, our stress will go down, our satisfaction will go up, and our life's overload will be lightened. It will be lightened. If we take to heart these first three verses, these three verses of Scripture today, let's pray and ask God to bless the teaching of His Word today. Father God, we ask you right now, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. And Lord, as we unpack this over the next few moments, Lord, let us understand these verses more than we've ever understood them before. I pray, Father, we walk away from this place with the load of the world, the load that's around our neck will be lightened because we understand what your word does and what you can do for us. God, I pray that we walk away from this place completely different than when we came. And Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray these things. And the church said, amen. When you notice these three verses, it's really about faith, repentance, rest, and submission. And so I want to kind of break out these verses for you and kind of give you some ideas from just the wording of this verses that the Lord gave us to help lighten our load. So you, if you've got a pen, you can fill in some blanks in a few moments, but I want you to get to your Scriptures because I want you to underline some key words in these passages if you're one of those type of people that like to underline in your Bible. And if you're using one of the pew Bibles, that's fine. Go ahead and underline because you may not pick it up next time, but the next person might pick it up and see those as a highlighted area for you today. But if you're here today and you brought your Bible, I want you to underline because the first phrase that we need to look at is "come to." That word is those three words, "come to," in chapter 11, verse 28, the first part. Jesus, just as man's part of salvation is to come humbly to him, it is also man's part of doing it by faith. We have to take that step of faith. In my infinite finite little brain, I can't fully comprehend the truth that God has in those three words. Divine grace and human faith are inseparable in salvation. God sovereignly provides salvation, which includes the fact that man must give himself to the Lord Jesus Christ in commitment before it becomes effective. And so here's what he says in John chapter 6. Note this, write this in the margin of your Scriptures. All that the Father gives me, verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And then he immediately adds these words, and the one who come to me, I will certainly not cast out. So if we take that step of faith to come to Christ, he will not reject us. He will receive us. Salvation is not some form of creed or some kind of church membership or some kind of religion or ritual statement that we may. You don't come to a pastor. You don't come to a priest. No other human means can that happen. It only happens when we come to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That is the only way that person comes to faith in Christ. Who says, come to me. He is drawing us. To come is to believe to the point of submitting to his lordship. When we say, I understand the phrase, come to me, that simply means I've taken that step of faith, understanding that the Savior of the universe is drawing me. Come to me means I am drawing you. That's what he says, come to me and I will give you rest. As he goes on to say in John chapter 6, verse 35, he goes on to say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Come and believe are parallel just as hunger and thirst are. Coming to Christ is believing in him, which results in no longer hungering and thirsting for righteousness. When we come to him, we are filled with righteousness at the point of conversion. When that happens, we get all of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. You can't get more of the Holy Spirit once you get him. Once you invite him into your life, you get the Spirit of the living God. Now he becomes more prevalent and evident as you, as a disciple in the path of righteousness, you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit becomes more evident in your life. At 17 years old in April of 1971, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I got all of the Holy Spirit I'm ever going to get. Can I get an amen to that? That was so quiet. I would have thought I would have gotten a shouts of that. Because when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. You're not going to get any more. But it's going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Folks, when we come to him, he will not cast you out. And he is the bread of life, and we will never hunger nor thirst if we're truly saved by his glorious grace. Other biblical terms in believing Christ includes confessing him, receiving him, eating and drinking him, and hearing him. So the first phrase for us to rivet into our souls is the phrase in verse 28, the first part, come to me. That is a step of faith, is to come to Christ. He woos us, but we've got to take that step of faith. It's not some man-made thing. We can't orchestrate it, but when he draws us to himself, we come. When we are listening, we come. It brings us to repentance and rest. And it says, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, when you notice the phrase, all who are, that simply indicates a condition that already exists. Now stay with me, gather here close, brothers and sisters. Those who Jesus invites to himself who are those who already were weary and heavy laden. We were already downtrodden. We were already tired. We were already worn out. Although this aspect of Jesus' invitation is mentioned after faith to come to me, it's mentioned after chronologically, it precedes faith, referring to repentance that drives the humble and seeking a person to faith in Christ. You see, we are convicted of our sin, and he makes that statement, come to me, then we get up and come. Chronologically, it would surmise that the repentance happens first, right? No, he's got to woo us. It's kind of almost simultaneously. Jesus calls us out and we realize our need for a Savior. And when we have a need for a Savior, we realize that we need to be saved by his glorious grace. I know that's not a 21st century term people want to use anymore. Saved. They want to use all these other terms. But let me tell you something, folks. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the three young people this week came to faith in Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God did a work in their life prior to my showing up, prior to my walking into their life. He did a work by convicting them of their sin and their need of repentance. And so they were drawn by the Holy Spirit when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. The word weary or to grow simply carries the idea of working to the point of utter exhaustion. Now, how many of y'all, now raise your hand, and now don't be honest now. How many of y'all have worked till you just cannot work another moment? Raise your hand. Have you ever been that way? Where you've been that tired like that? Are you just like, I just don't think I can do it. Sometimes me getting up out of the chair, that's a lot of work, right? Amen. Some of us, that's the kind of work. I mean, some of us in this room have worked hard with our hands, and some of us have worked hard with our minds, and some of us have worked hard with our spirits. Folks, let me tell you something. That's what that word weary means, is to labor, carries the work of utter exhaustion. John used the term in John chapter 4, verse 6, when they were described Jesus' fatigue when he and the disciples reached Sychar after a long journey from Jerusalem. Weary carries the translation as a present active participle, refers to, figuratively speaking, seeking to please God and to know the way of salvation. Jesus calls himself to everyone who is exhausted. When we get to the end of the rope, yeah, let me tell you something, that's when he gets us the best, right? That's when he calls us, when we say, I can't do this on my own. No, you can't, and neither can I. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us when we're totally exhausted, trying to find ways to please God and some resource of wisdom. It gives us that exhaustion to earn our way. Folks, let me tell you something. If you can earn your way to salvation, you can lose your way to salvation. You can never earn your way to salvation. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God. That ought to make somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Folks, let me tell you something. When we're weary, that's when he draws us and he gets our attention. Heavy laden, weary carries that present active participle. And that phrase heavy laden, translated as this, as a perfect passive participle, indicates that sometime in the past, a great load was laid upon you. A great load was dumped on your weary person out there. It was loaded up on you. As where weary refers to an internal exhaustion caused by divine truth of him getting into our lives divinely, and heavy laden is an external load. Weary is an internal wooing, and heavy laden is that external load on top of us. You see, some of you are walking around and we can't tell that you're so weary. We can't tell because we don't see inside your life. We don't see inside your mind, inside your heart. You have that weariness that is internal in your life, that exhaustion. And some of you are just burdened down. Some of you are just fatigued because of the work that you're trying to do. In Jesus' day, the teaching in Jesus' day had become so massive, so demanding, and all-encompassing that they prescribed standards and formulas in virtually every human activity. But it was completely impossible for those in Jesus' day, as it is in today's time, for us to accomplish those. We can't do those without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of these heavy loads of religious traditions the scribes and Pharisees laid on the people's shoulder. And at the Jewish council, Peter goes on to say in Acts chapter 15, verse 10, yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. Now gather in here close. How does that relate to us in the 21st century? We load up the religious meetings that we have to go to. If I never have to go to another committee meeting, I will do a dance on this stage right here. How many of y'all want to see a dance on this stage? It's not pretty, but it might be some movement. We load our people up with so many meetings, yet we get nothing accomplished. Now, I think we need to have some certain meetings. The churches that I have studied, Dr. Ben, over the years in my ministry that have been successful, and you see success by means of duplicating itself, growing and expanding its ministries. It has a ministry structure that's smaller than most churches that aren't growing. I was serving in a church not long ago. I'm not going to tell you the name of the church because I love those brothers and sisters because we helped them through some of these things. But I looked at their list of committees and their structure and all their ministry teams. And by the time I finished reading it 4 or 5 minutes later, I was worn out. So I asked the spiritual leader that was leading the transitional team, helping me. I asked him, I said, how many of these committees and team are actually functioning? He said, most of them don't even have members. goodness gracious. We have committees and teams with no members. Why is that? He said, well, we can't get anybody to serve. I said, don't you think I'm from Alabama? Please forgive me, but I'm from Alabama. It seems to me if there's nobody that's willing to serve on those committees or teams, we might not need those committees or teams. I'm just saying. He said, will you bring that up in business meeting next week? I did. And I still served about 15 months there. Amen. I didn't get shot or anything. I did get some stares. But folks, let me tell you something. We in church ministry, we load up the heavy laden on some of you. And if we're not filling those spots, maybe we need to release those spots. Can I get amen to that, please? All the staff's going, hallelujah, amen. You see, the weariness is that internal stuff, that gnawing at us. The heavy lading is that external burden caused by efforts of trying to come across as righteous. It happened to Jesus' day, it happens today. Although it's not stated in this passage, Jesus is clearly stating and gives a call to repentance, to turn away from a self-centered, work-centered lifestyle and come to him. He's calling us away from that. The person who is weary and heavy laden is trying to work in his own abilities to please God. Desperation comes in. True salvation is set aside. Repentance is the theme that John the Baptist was preaching when he began his ministry, and Jesus carried it out, and so did the Apostle Paul. And folks, let me tell you something. Repent from that heavy laden. Repent from that weariness. He is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. The person who is humble receives God's revelation of himself, his way of salvation, and turns from the unbearable burden of sin and self-righteousness and self-effort to come to Christ by faith and come completely empty-handed. We in the 21st century church in North America, forgive us, those of you that are maybe just now coming back to that, we have man-made so many things that are not of God. We really have. If we get right back to the basics of duplicating ourselves, we do more ministry opportunities out there and less duplication of those ministry opportunities. Folks, let's get back to what our dear brothers in the millennial crowd is calling us to, is one-to-one disciple making. That's exactly what the scriptures taught us. We must get back and lay aside the heavy laden, the heavy burdens that we've laid upon ourselves and get back to the main thing. Let me ask you this question and I'll move on. This is new. This is fresh. This is something that's not in the manuscript. This is out of my heart. How many of you are reproducing yourself? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are investing in someone else? You say, well, I'm old and decrepit. Hallelujah. You've got all these years of experience and wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we need you to take a fresh look at the Word of God and a fresh look in your own personal life. If we're going to be the church that's going to reach Fairburn, Georgia, we're going to be the church that reproduces itself in the lives of people. They're not going to come because we're attractional. They're not going to come because we got the greatest transitional pastor, which you do. They're not going to come because we got fantastic music. They're going to come because you invested time in them. Brothers and sisters, lay aside the heavy laden. And he says, to give rest. Rest means to refresh or revive from labor. A long journey of Jesus promising spiritual rest. I found it interesting. A church that I'm dear to, they take the entire month of July and they give all their discipleship and all their small group leaders, all of those facilitators, they give them a rest in the month of July. Completely shut it down. All they do is come to worship gathering. and have the other opportunities of ministry out there. They shut all that down. And I said, how do you get it ramped back up? He said, they are biting at the bit. They are so excited to come back in August. Why is that? Because they have gotten the initial rest they need. I don't know about you, but I get real tired of doing church. How many of y'all get tired of doing church? Come on, be honest. Some of you do. Well, some of you need to do church to get tired of doing church. I'm about to get fired. Thank you. Folks, let me tell you something. He is saying to us, I will give you rest. Rest to everyone who comes to him in repentance and humble. I was looking at the Webster's Dictionary. It gives several definitions of rest that are remarkably parallel to spiritual rest offered to those who trust Jesus. First of all, describes an ending from action or motion or labor, exertion. In a similar way, God's rest is cease of all efforts of self-help in trying to earn our salvation. The second one I saw was a rest for, described as freedom from which weariness disturbs us, where we're so tired and so disturbed in that. We need that freedom, spiritual parallel. God is giving his children freedom. If you don't want to see freedom, go read Romans chapter 8, the great declaration of freedom. For there is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Simply meaning we're in him, we are completely set free from all the burdens that we heap upon ourselves or let someone else in. The third one definition, it defines rest as something that's fixed and settling. Similar to God's rest is to have a wonderful assurance of our eternal destiny and security in Christ Jesus. We don't have to go from one philosophy to another philosophy, one religious belief to another religious belief, one guru to another guru, some health, self-help, happiness, and prosperity teacher to another self-help, happiness, and prosperity teacher. We can come boldly to the throne of God's grace and receive that peace and happiness and eternal life. And the fourth rest that I found was defined as confident in trust. Now, there's nothing wrong with being confident in our journey, but when we enter God's rest and given the assurance that God gives, he says to Paul in the church to the church at Philippi in chapter 1, he says, and he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus, or the day of Christ Jesus. And finally, the last one, he says, he will supply everything for us. He will give us everything that we need for the journey. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when you look at this passage, you see, come to me, that's faith. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's repentance and rest. That leads me to that word I said a moment ago, submission. This is where the rubber meets the road right here. This is where we stumble most of the time. Most of us that have been in church any length of time, we understand that coming. We've been in enough revival services and evangelistic crusades or great preaching services or great Sunday morning events or whatever it might be. We get that come. We understand the weary and heavy laden part. We get a little bit of that and we know that. But here's where the submission part gets to. This is where it's tough for us because we're so self-consumed with our own ability and our own confidence. Look what the word says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Salvation involves submission, because it is impossible for Christ to exercise lordship over those who refuse to obey him. He cannot exercise his grace and mercy in us if we refuse it. He cannot. He will not. Jesus's invitation, therefore, includes the call of submission, is symbolized by a yoke. Now, if I had one, I tried to find one this week and I couldn't find one, but maybe y'all, I should have called some of y'all, maybe you should have had one. But a yoke, have you seen one of those that you put on ox and cattle? A yoke, you put it on mules sometimes. A yoke is a hewned out piece of wood and it's fit firmly on the shoulders, on the neck, around the neck of the animal that they're trying to use to guide a particular cart or maybe a plow of some sort. The term was widely used for submission. The yoke is a harness and it pulls the cart by means which the animal, the master, can control that. He's saying, take up my yoke, Jesus is saying. He said, I want to give you my yoke. I want to put my yoke. One young Jewish writer said, put your neck under the yoke and let your soul receive instruction. That's what he said about this particular passage. In particular meaning, Jesus seems to have had in mind that he adds, learn from me. I think he needed to add that for the 21st century church. Not just for the first century church, but I think he needed to add it for us because sometimes we understand, okay, I get under the yoke, but then that learning, listening and learning from him. The power of salvation is entirely about grace and nothing of works. An unbeliever has neither the understanding nor the ability to save himself. We cannot save ourselves. Just as young Hunter, he can't save himself. He can't feed himself just yet. He will, and then it's all over, brother. You can kind of margin out what he has now. But when he gets to be, you know, teenagers, they'll just eat you out of house, home, and everything else, right? And so, but right now, just as a babe, young Hunter, he can't understand how to help himself. He needs Miss Julie. He needs Brother Ben to help him along the way. That's what a brand new believer needs. That's why he's saying, get under the yoke and learn from me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're created in Christ for good works, which God had prepared before him that we walk in him. But Jesus is humble and gentle in heart. He gives rest, not weariness, to the souls who submit to that. Submission is saying, I am going to get under the yoke and I'm going to learn from you and I'm going to get the weariness and heavy laden off of me and watch you guide me every step of the way. Now, in my introduction remarks, let me give you the outline. How do we lighten our load? First of all, number one, very simple. We must turn to Jesus. I tried to come up with a cute phrase that would just be so cool in 21st century jargon that it would just be hip. But I couldn't, because this is it. We must turn to Jesus. That is so old-fashioned in some terminology, and some preachers will say, wow, that's not 21st century. That's not cool. Let me tell you something, brothers. My God is cool enough. So all we need to do is turn to Jesus. He said it best. Come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I love what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, verse 31 in the New Living Translation says, he gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait upon the Lord will find new strength. We must turn to Jesus. We must turn to Jesus. Number two, we must give him total control. Not partial control. Total control. Verse 29, it goes on to say, take up my yoke, not your yoke. Take up my yoke and learn from me. I tell you right now, the man who saved me of my sins is the guy that I'm going to listen to. He's the guy that's got instruction for my daily life. 66 books he's given us to dive into every year, every day of every year to give us instruction. The word of God is a comfort blanket in time of need. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a weapon of mass destruction. But folks, let me tell you what it is for this preacher. It is a roadmap for daily living. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalms 55, verse 22, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load and help you out. Brothers and sisters, when I am yoked with Christ, we moved. When we are yoked with, we move together in the same direction at the same pace. You put the yoke on two oxen, and you only have one in there and the other, it's going to kind of go awry. But if you put two in there, they're going to go simultaneously, side by side, in the same direction. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we must learn, turn to Jesus. We must give total control to Jesus. And finally, we must learn to trust in His modeled life. His modeled life. It's not some fictional thing. He modeled it in the Scriptures for us to live by. Take up my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand anything that happens along the way? When I'm ready to give up, Psalms 142 says, when I'm ready to give up, He knows what I should do. One of the things that my disciple, I spoke with him this week on the phone, it was 35 years ago that he began to disciple me, and I talked to Dr. Files. I said, Doc, how you doing? He said, man, I got me three new guys that I'm pouring life into. He's 78 years old, and he's pouring life into these three young guys. I said, aren't you retired? He said, retired from what? He said, I'm not counting pills anymore. He was a pharmacist. I said, you're not? He said, no, I gave that up. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for three or four more guys. I'd like to have at least one a day that I could pour life into. I said, one a day. I said, Doc, tell me something about this learning and this growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He said, please forgive me for using an athletic term, Dan, but it's a process. He said, I constantly reminded you that the growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, salvation is instantaneously, but the growing in grace and knowledge of Christ is a process. Take up the yoke. And he started quoting this passage of scripture to me, not knowing that I was going to preach on it this week. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If I leave you with one thing today, we must learn to trust in His model. If you're here today and you're not involved in a disciples path class or involved in a small group of any type, if you're not involved in that, you are completely missing the mark. If you only have 1 hour to spend in Christian work, or 1 hour to spend in a worship gathering, or 1 hour spent under the teaching of God's word, give up this hour and come to a disciples path and try that one time. Come to that, because that's where you will grow. And let me tell you something, we got this thing rigged. We got it tricked. We know if you get involved in that and you start growing, what's going to happen? You're going to want to come and hang out with me and Brother Ben. You want to come and hang out with Lewis. You want to come and worship him in spirit and truth. Folks, let me tell you something, we need to trust in Christ's model. Learning is a process. Learning doesn't happen instantaneously. Learning takes time. When we learn from Christ, we learn gentleness and humility. The two causes of overloading our lives is aggression and arrogance. Aggression is when we get in a hurry. We want it right now. That's the society that we're in. We're microwavable, point, click, ding, let's eat. We don't want to go through the painstaking moments that the chef would pour over at the stove. Wise, remember the stove where you actually poured over that stuff instead of sliding in the microwave, punching the numbers for us. We're thankful to God that you're at least punching the numbers in the microwave, but we'd like for you to painstakingly get into that crock pot and pour over that. It is a long process in the growing in grace and knowledge of Christ. I asked my dear friend, Dr. Files, I said, Doc, So have you arrived yet? He said, oh, can't believe you even wasted the breath to ask that question. I said, Dr. Cliff, when do we arrive? He said, the second you take your next breath in glory. It's a long process. Learning takes time. Don't be arrogant. don't say you don't need God in this process. Finally, I give you an anecdote at the end. We all need a Savior, King Jesus. I only do what the Father says do, say what he said, tells me to say, and go where he leads. Think the ways he wants and stay where he wants me to stay. I do have the privilege, and I don't understand this either, only that God allows this to happen, is that I've had the privilege of investing in the lives of several young pastors over the years. And I'm in the process with one right now that God is moving to a new ministry assignment. And we were meeting at Tuesday for breakfast. I asked him, I said, are you certain that this God's in this move for you? He said, I truly believe that. I said, why is that? He said, because I can't get settled in my spirit when I go to the office here or when I do ministry here. All I can think about is where God is about to take me. I said, don't ever leave a ministry assignment until God leads you to a ministry assignment. Only go where God leads you to go. My brothers and sisters, we must trust, turn to Jesus, give up total control, and trust in his modeled lifestyle. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke upon me. Learn from me. My yoke is light. My burdens are light. My yoke is light and my burden is light. I will give you rest is what he's saying. Some of us in this room, we've been carrying the load way too long. When are you going to let the Lord Jesus come alongside you and carry that load with you?